Good afternoon, 4:30 and 91 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
This gives us some really valuable information about how far people are willing to travel, what kind of training that they're interested in, things that prospective employers want to know.
Jeff Whitehead of the East Kentucky Concentrated Employment Program says a study of the Eastern Kentucky workforce will be released in Hazard tomorrow.
A man is hospitalized in Lexington following a weekend shooting in Moorhead.
And a state senator says texting while driving continues to be a problem in Kentucky.
In sports, Kentucky's most highly recruited high school basketball player announces where he'll play college ball at 6 p.m.
But Luke has the stocks.
Mostly clear tonight with lows in the upper 60s. The complete weather forecast is coming up after this news.
A 36-year-old Rallin County man is in stable condition at the UK Medical Center after a Labor Day weekend shooting in Moorhead. Kentucky State Police say Sean May was wounded in the neck, allegedly by his stepfather. Police say May had been arguing with 86-year-old Clovis Hunter at their South Spring Street residence. Hunter is not facing charges at this time. Trooper Joe Veneman says the case is being turned over to a Rallin County grand jury, which will decide if Hunter should be indicted.
According to WIMT, a 69-year-old man has been killed while riding an all-terrain vehicle in Breathitt County. The county coroner identifies the victim as Billy Campbell. George Griffith tells the Hazard station Campbell's ATV dropped off a road Sunday night and fell into a creek. The accident happened around 6:30.
Troopers from the Moorhead Post of the Kentucky State Police are investigating a fatal accident Friday afternoon at the westbound exit ramp of I-64 in Rallin County. Killed at the scene was 60-year-old Jerry Thatcher of Moorhead. Police say the victim was beside his motorcycle when he was struck by a sport utility vehicle shortly after 3 o'clock. The driver of the SUV, 38-year-old Jeremy Manier of Clearfield, and his 39-year-old passenger Kim Johnson of Moorhead were both injured and transported to St. Clair Regional Medical Center.
A Mount Sterling man was injured Sunday when his gasoline-powered parachute was unable to stay airborne. It struck construction equipment near Lucasville, Ohio. The Portsmouth Daily Times reports the Ohio Highway Patrol identified the man as 58-year-old Brett Lloyd. Troopers say he was taken to the Southern Ohio Medical Center for treatment of non-life-threatening injuries. They say the accident happened shortly before 9 a.m.
Despite Kentucky's law forbidding texting while driving, State Senator Joe Bowen says many motorists continue to do it. The Owensboro Republican says preventing it should be a top priority of the Transportation Cabinet, Office of Highway Safety, and State Police.
Obviously, it is a huge problem. I mean, I probably got 6 texts on the way up here today from Owensboro and only answered 5 of them, but...
Bowen is a member of the Senate Transportation Committee. He made his comments at a hearing this afternoon in Frankfort.
The chief financial officer for the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet says the state's total road fund revenues dropped by more than $40 million in the last fiscal year compared to 2015. Robin Brewer is executive director for the Office of Budget and Fiscal Management. She told House and Senate members of the General Assembly's Transportation Committee this afternoon that the drop would have been worse had it not been for an increase in vehicle use tax collections.
We collected $100 million less in motor fuels tax revenue in 2016 than we did in 2015. But again, fortunately, for substantial growth from the motor vehicle usage tax, that helped offset some of the decline in the motor fuels tax. So overall, in fiscal year 2016, the road fund collected $44.2 million, or 2.9% less than in fiscal year 15.
Brewer says road revenues for fiscal 2017 look better. She says Governor Bevin's Office of Economic Analysis is predicting an increase of $15 to $20 million above initial estimates.
Ashland Alliance President Tim Gibbs says there's no reason why the northeastern region will be shut out of Kentucky's growth in the aerospace industry. Gibbs says aerospace is now Kentucky's largest export business, and its prospects for developing even further in the greater Ashland area are excellent.
If you look at the facets that takes to support that industry, especially the manufacturing side of it, metal and metal fabrication are hugely important components of that. And we have recently started and completed a workforce analysis of who do we have, what kind of skill sets do they have, how can we quantify the skills they have and the certificates they have and such. And it matches up very, very well with the growing need for kind of this aerospace industry.
Gibbs also notes that Morehead State University's Space Science Center can be a catalyst for research and job development in the aerospace field.
A comprehensive study on Eastern Kentucky's workforce will be made public tomorrow morning in Hazard. There's a public reporting of the results at Hazard Community and Technical College at 9 o'clock. Several organizations partnered to pay for the analysis, including the East Kentucky Concentrated Employment Program. Jeff Whitehead is director of the EKCEP.
From our perspective, we wanted to know real clearly what people were looking to be trained into. We wanted to know our shortcomings. We wanted to know where the mismatches were in terms of training opportunities and what the workers needed.
Whitehead says Boyett Strategic Advisors conducted the study of workers, industries, and educators in the region earlier this year.
The for-profit college chain ITT Technical Institute is shutting down its campuses, including two in Kentucky. Paul Miles reports.
The move by the Indianapolis-based company comes days after the U.S. Department of Education banned ITT from enrolling new students who use federal financial aid. The company, which operates vocational schools, says it's ending academic operations at all of its more than 130 campuses across 38 states. ITT has locations in Louisville and Lexington. I'm Paul Miles.
Morehead State University's chief financial officer says the switch in the classifications of more than 170 employees from salaried to hourly will affect how work is done all over the campus. Beth Patrick says it'll require some rethinking of strategies for accomplishing important tasks without compelling the newly reclassified hourly employees to work much overtime. She says enrollment services will be one area impacted because its representatives are sometimes on the road recruiting students. Athletics, Patrick explains, also has issues to resolve. She says athletic trainers are becoming hourly workers and they're required to be at every game.
When there's away games and they have to travel, and then with all the practices, we're concerned about the number of hours that will be required. So we'll either have to pay overtime, hire some more trainers so that no one is working a lot of overtime, or other strategies that we might be able to think of. And, you know, each office has unique situations, and we're looking at each one of those a little bit differently.
Employees affected by the reclassification at MSU were informed by letter last week. The changes are effective October 1st.
The new parking garage on Morehead State University's campus is open for use. MSU's Assistant Vice President for Facilities, Rick Linio, says workers are currently completing the facade on the $18 million building and will begin work in November on the interior of the attached dining hall. Linio says the garage currently has 295 available parking spots, but that number will grow after the entire project is finished.
So we're going to have close to, with the spaces in the garage and the area behind it, and then, of course, the area as you walk in, you'll have close to 390 spaces available.
Linio says all of the work on the new parking garage dining hall complex is expected to be finished by September of next year.
While Kentucky's schools are still allowed to implement corporal punishment, the Rowan County school system doesn't use paddling as a method for improving student behavior. According to Marvin Moore, the district hasn't employed corporal punishment during his 12 years as superintendent. Moore says Rowan school officials decided a long time ago to ditch the long-time disciplinary tactic.
Research shows that corporal punishment is not the best way to make sure we do the right thing for students. And plus, that's a big thing, I think, for a lot of districts, and we think about it all the time, is a liability. You know, you put your district, you put yourself in a liability situation.
Each of Kentucky's 173 school districts has the option of using corporal punishment for misbehaving children. There were 574 incidents of school paddling statewide last year, down from 3,075 back in 2005.
Physicians are partly to blame for an increase in drug addiction and the rash of opioid overdoses some communities have experienced in recent months. That concession comes from the chief medical officer at St. Clair Regional Medical Center. Dr. Will Milan says some doctors overprescribe painkillers in a sincere attempt to relieve suffering.
All physicians want to do the best thing for their patients, and when they see someone who's in pain, they feel like they need to try to help that. I think what we need to do is re-educate ourselves and ask ourselves, are opioids the best solution for that problem? I don't know the answer to that myself.
However, Dr. Milan says as more information is learned about opioids, the more significant their risks appear to be.
An Eastern Kentucky state representative says he is tired of all the lies. MSPR's Chaz Jenkins reports.
According to the Ashland Independent, Hazard Democrat Fitz Steele says he was at the meeting where Representative Kevin Sinnott of Ashland was allegedly pressured by Republican Governor Matt Bevin to switch parties. Sinnott says he didn't reveal that Steele was at the meeting because he felt it was up to Steele to release that information. Meanwhile, Bevin continues to deny that the meeting ever happened, calling the accusations completely false. Steele says Bevin is not telling the truth and that he and Sinnott were threatened with political retribution if they refused to switch to the GOP. For Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
A Lexington grandmother challenging Republican Congressman Andy Barr in Kentucky's 6th District claims the incumbent is out of touch with the way middle-class families live. Democrat Nancy Jo Kemper is 73 years old, a church minister, and is making her first bid for public office. She tells CN2's Pure Politics she has taken a leave of absence from her congregation to pursue the congressional seat.
Andy's life experience is such that he knows very little about poverty and what it is to have to struggle in life, and I've got a lifetime of experience, not only personally, but dealing with congregations and people in various life circumstances, from blue-collar churches to white-collar groups of people, to my own experience as a single parent.
Kemper says she has differences with Congressman Barr on health care, gun control, and banking regulations.
Republicans in Kentucky's 1st Congressional District are expected to nominate James Comer for a special election to replace U.S. Representative Ed Whitfield. Whitfield is resigning from Congress at 6 p.m. next Tuesday. He announced his resignation last week, about a year after announcing he would not seek re-election in 2016. Governor Matt Bevin says he will call a special election for November 8th to elect someone to carry out the remainder of Whitfield's term, which expires in January. Rick Grana, the state Republican Party's 1st District Chairman, says he expects Comer will be nominated without opposition. Comer is already on the November ballot as he seeks a full two-year term in Congress. He faces Democrat Sam Gaskins, who is also likely to be the Democrats' nominee for the special election.
An Ashland-based service organization is marking its 80th anniversary. The United Way of Northeast Kentucky raises money to assist various charities in the area. CEO Jerry Compton says that after 8 decades in the business, the United Way's goal remains the same.
Plans right now are to be able to do more, to show our community the impact that we can have when we give and we pull together. We're all facing, I think, a lot of economic challenges, many very personal and at home. And hopefully through United Way, through our community support, we're going to be stronger together and just build a really healthy community here in northeastern Kentucky.
An event noting the 80th anniversary will be held at 11:30 a.m. next Tuesday at the Ashland Elks Lodge.
The 16th annual Kentucky Fallen Firefighters Memorial Service will be held on October 5th. It starts at 10 a.m. that day at the Firefighters Memorial Wall in Frankfort. The wall honors those firefighters who've lost their lives in the line of duty. It currently contains the names of over 200 such men and women, and two more will be added to it this year. Ronnie Day of Morehead is the executive director for the Kentucky Fire Commission. He says holding the memorial service is an important thing to do.
It's the least we can do for these families that have lost their loved ones. And it shows them that, you know, somebody cares, and this is our brothers. I mean, this is all family, and And it's the least we can do for the families to recognize the loved one in a everlasting memory that it'll be there from now on.
The commission is hosting the memorial service in conjunction with the State Professional Firefighters Association, the Kentucky Fire Chiefs, along with the Frankfort Fire Department and EMS. Turning now to look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region. Tonight, it'll be mostly clear with patchy dense valley fog late and lows around 68 degrees. Tomorrow, it'll be warm and mostly sunny. We'll see that valley fog early in the morning, highs during the day reaching to around 90. Tomorrow night, mostly clear. We'll see lows in the upper 60s again. On Thursday, mostly sunny, another 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon with highs again around 90. And on Thursday night, mostly cloudy, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms with lows around 68. It's currently sitting at 93 degrees in Ashland. It's 90 right now in Flemingsburg, 91 in Inez and in Lexington. It's 89 in Winchester and 91 degrees here in Moorhead.
446, this is Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It's good to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. On our feature segment, a new report shows how race and ethnicity impact the health of Kentuckians under Medicaid expansion. Here's Greg Stottlemyre.
A new report from the Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky finds race and ethnicity make a difference in how healthy you are. Phyllis Platt says she sees those differences every day at the community health center she helps run in the West End of Louisville, the patients enduring racial, economic, and health disparities. Platt is the CEO at Shawnee Christian Healthcare Center, which serves a predominantly African-American neighborhood.
What we see significantly are high rates of diabetes, high rates of heart disease and hypertension, mental health issues that go untreated because of lack of access to resources in the neighborhood.
The Foundation's report also found that Black and Hispanic Kentuckians are less likely to have health insurance than white Kentuckians, and that white Kentuckians are more likely to have a personal doctor and less likely to forego medical care because of cost. Platt says Medicaid expansion, which has allowed an additional 440,000 Kentuckians to gain health coverage, has helped chip away at the disparities.
We know we've increased access to primary care. We know we've had higher numbers of folks accessing preventive care and starting to move the needle a little bit on those health outcomes as a result.
Of the more than 3,000 patients served by the Shawnee Christian Healthcare Center, 70% are on Medicaid, half of them through expansion. Kentucky is seeking waivers from the federal government, which Governor Matt Bevin says will give those enrolled in Medicaid ownership in the program and make it more sustainable for the state. Shawnee's Ann Peake worries that the potential changes could create barriers and reverse the gains made.
We're concerned that the folks who have to jump through the hoops to maintain their coverage are going to get lost in the system.
The waiver request includes proposed work requirements, premiums, and lockout periods, which critics say could disproportionately affect minorities and other vulnerable Kentuckians. I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
The time is 4:49. You're tuned in to Mountain Edition here on Moorhead State Public Radio. The latest in national and international news heads your way in about 12 minutes from NPR's All Things Considered. Until then, Braxton has been keeping an eye on your sports. He's up in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Round County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market, open 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays and near the Moorhead City Park. The Round County Farmers Market is Kentucky proud with homegrown fruits and vegetables and assorted canned and baked goods. Farmers Market Nutrition Program, WIC, and senior checks accepted. More information at 784-5457. The Round County Farmers Market is a certified Kentucky proud market.
Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The University of Kentucky men's basketball schedule for the upcoming season is now complete, MSPR's Arlo Barnett reports.
The basketball Cats will get the regular season underway on November the 11th at home against Stephen F. Austin. The non-conference portion of the schedule is headlined by matchups against Michigan State, Arizona State, UCLA, North Carolina, and Louisville. UK will start the SEC portion of play with a trip to Ole Miss on December 29th. Kentucky plays Florida, Georgia, Vanderbilt, Tennessee, and Texas A&M twice in the regular season. They will play the rest of the league teams just once. For Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Arlo Barnett.
Also in the college basketball world, the number one ranked high school player in the class of 2017 is set to make his college announcement in a little more than an hour from now. DeAndre Ayton announced via Twitter earlier today that he will make his college decision live on SportsCenter at 6 p.m. this evening. The 7-foot center is choosing between Arizona, Kansas, and Kentucky. The Cincinnati Reds will take on the New York Mets tonight at 7:10 in Game 2 of their three-game series at Great American Ballpark. Behind 43-year-old Bartolo Colon and three relievers, the Mets blanked Cincy yesterday 5-0. Rookie Robert Stevens was the hard luck loser for skipper Brian Price's club after giving up just two runs in 5 1/3 innings.
Commanded the bottom of the zone well with his fastball and change in particular, and then threw some small handful of curveballs for strikes behind in the count. Those are things that have to happen, not all the time. You know, he's got a good fastball. He's 93 to 97, a higher percentage of fastball strikes, which I think is really has to be a huge part of his development. And look like a pitcher.
The Reds have dropped 10 of their last 14 games. 8-10 lefty Brandon Finnegan will pitch tonight for Cincinnati. The Mets are going with rookie Rafael Montero, who will be making his second career start. The Morehead State baseball team's fall practices are now underway. While he likes the talent level of the Eagles' newcomers, Coach Mike McGuire admits he's really excited about the ball club's solid core of returning veterans.
We have that rare commodity. We return 9 starters. Now, that doesn't mean they're all going to start for us this year. They've certainly got to earn jobs, and we've brought guys in that expect to come in and compete for a job. But really excited about our talent level. I think we have a chance to be the most talented team we've had since I've been here.
After winning an OVC title in 2015, the Baseball Eagles closed last spring with a 32-27 record. The Morehead State football team is gearing up for Saturday's home game against VMI after suffering an 80-7 beatdown at James Madison last weekend. Everything that could go wrong for MSU went wrong. Coach Rob Tenure says it hurt that his squad turned the ball over 5 times and had just 182 yards of total offense.
We've got to get in a much better rhythm offensively and be able to compete at a higher level to win some games, and we will do that.
Like Morehead, VMI is 0-1 this season. The Cadets lost Saturday at Akron, 47-24. With his team preparing for its first SEC test, Kentucky coach Mark Stoops insists he has a good football team. Stoops was responding to questions during Monday's news conference following UK's disappointing 44-35 weekend loss to Southern Mississippi. The Cats blew a 35-10 lead in falling. According to Stoops, when things start going wrong, instead of letting them snowball, his teams need to just focus on their execution.
When things go wrong, we have guys on there that start rat trapping and doing some things that are inexcusable. And that's got to stop. That's a losing mentality that we will not tolerate. And that's got to change because there are so many people doing so many good things.
UK starts conference play Saturday on the road at Florida. After a hectic weekend of college football, the new AP Top 25 rankings are out. AP correspondent Jack Briggs reports.
After destroying then-20th-ranked Southern Cal 52-6, Alabama retains the top spot in the Associated Press Top 25 poll. The Crimson Tide picked up 21 first-place votes to total 54. Clemson remains number 2 with 2 first-place votes, while 3rd-ranked Florida State got 4 first-place nods and 5th-ranked Michigan 1. Coming in 4th this week is Ohio State. The second 5 features Houston, Stanford, Washington, Georgia, and Wisconsin. This is Jack Briggs.
Round County soccer teams are on the road tonight. While the Viking boys face Russell at 8, the Lady Vikings meet Bath County at 5:30. Coach Alan Evans says his team is making progress in his new system. He's especially liked the work of center midfielders Hannah Taylor and Emily DeMoss.
They have to have really good communication. They both can't be on the right. They both can't be on the left. They can't be both up in the attack. And so they have to communicate. One stays up, one stays back. One's right, one left. So they have to have really good balance on the field. And so as the games are going, you're seeing those adjustments nicely.
Both round soccer teams are holders of 3-2 records so far this season. And finally in sports, the Morehead State volleyball team finally gets to play its first home match of the season. The Eagles will host Wright State at 7 o'clock. After opening the season with six contests on the road, Coach Jamie Gordon says it will be nice to be at Weatherby Gym.
Our fans and community has been incredibly supportive. We do have a new addition to our gym. We just added a new TerraFlex floor. It's a synthetic surface that goes right over the wood. It's the same surface that they're playing the Olympics on.
MSU is 2-4 this season. Wright State is just 1-5, but coming off of a 3-0 win against Eastern Michigan. That's it for sports for Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Morehead State football season tickets are now available. Six home games are on the schedule, beginning with the Eagles hosting Virginia Military Institute on Saturday. Kickoff is set for 6 p.m. Tickets from the Morehead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed higher, led by energy stocks, and this despite shockingly weak economic data. And the Dow at the close finished with a gain of 46.16 at 18,538.12. The S&P 500 was up 6.5 at 2186.48. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 26.01 at 5275.91. And that is a new all-time closing high for the NASDAQ Composite. New York Stock Exchange breadth was almost 3-2 in favor of winning stocks over losers. The ISM non-manufacturing PMI index for the month of August came in at 51.4, and economists going into the report thought it would be closer to 55, which was just slightly below the July reading. And a number above 50 indicates expansion, while one below 50 shows contraction. U.S. Treasury bonds rose in price following the data's release, so interest rates fell, with the two-year note finishing at 0.72% and the benchmark 10-year yield at 1.54%. Oil prices seesawed, with U.S. crude oil settling about 0.7% higher at $44.83 a barrel. Saudi Arabia and Russia agreed yesterday to cooperate in world oil markets, but the Saudi energy minister said there was no need to freeze output for now. And while the Saudi minister played down the prospect of imminent action, his Russian counterpart said he was open to ideas on what cutoff period to use if countries chose to freeze output, and even said production cuts may be discussed. And gold futures for December delivery were up $27.30 at $1,354 an ounce. Among Dow Industrial stocks, your best performers were Chevron and Boeing, while your worst performers were Nike and United Technologies. And in the S&P 500, your best performers were Spectra Energy and EOG Resources, and the worst performers were Cummins and Centene. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated down 17 cents at 118.16, CSX down 2 cents at 28.12, Marathon Petroleum up 64 cents at 42.96, AEP up 79 cents at 66.03, AK Steel up 35 cents at 4.70, and Community Trust Bank was down 23 cents to finish at 36.62. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Turning once again to look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region, tonight it'll be mostly clear with patchy dense valley fog late and lows around 68 degrees. Tomorrow it'll be warm and mostly sunny. We'll see that valley fog early in the morning. It'll lift to reveal highs around 90 later in the day. Tomorrow night mostly clear with lows in the upper 60s. On Thursday, it'll be mostly sunny, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon with highs again around 90. That night, mostly cloudy, a 30% chance of rain and lows around 68. On Friday, it'll be partly sunny, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms with highs in the upper 80s. Friday night, mostly cloudy, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, lows in the upper 60s. And on Saturday, at the beginning of our weekend, it'll be partly sunny with a 40% chance of rain and highs around 88. It's currently sitting at 91 degrees here in Morehead. And that'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Tanner Boyd, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, and Chaz Jenkins. From the Kentucky News Network, Paul Miles filed a report, and from the Kentucky News Connection with our feature, Greg Stottlemyre. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Dan Conti and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Arlo Barnett, Morehead State Public Radio News. Stay tuned. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.